Hello and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Halle.
My name is Violet, and this is Therapy Hour.
Because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam peoples. You know what, everyone? We've been having too much fun. And on this fine Monday afternoon, we're here to break your heart.
Ooh.
Make you sad. Really, really sad.
That's what therapy's all about.
This week we're talking about breakups.
Oh no. As if I don't know the theme.
I know, it's a big surprise.
What?
I hope you're ready. We both assume that I feel like most people have gone through a breakup in some capacity that listen to our show.
Maybe not most, but probably a lot.
Quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
And are at least, I think in some ways, have encountered a breakup in the sense of either someone, you know, you break up with someone breaks up with you, or someone around you has struggled with a breakup. We all understand it to some capacity.
Yeah.
But I think for me and like a lot of other people, what's interesting about breakups is that obviously it's a relationship ending and it's two people, maybe more, deciding that, you know, this relationship is not going to work out further down the line. And I think that a lot of the times we don't take it specifically as what it truly is, which is a loss. It is losing someone in their role in your life. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is incredibly difficult, and it's not always talked about in that way. I think a lot of people focus a lot on how like this relationship is ending, it's severed,
and what the reasons are.
Exactly. Where in a lot of ways I think about breakups as like you have lost someone. Like this person, even if they do stay in your life in whatever capacity, they're not going to be there in the same way they were beforehand.
Yeah, definitely. And I know for me, in the serious relationships that I've been in, not only is that person my partner, but that person is like one of my best friends.
Yeah.
And I know everything about them. I talk to them almost every day. They know everything about me. And so for me, it's not only grieving that relationship and that romantic partner, but it's also grieving a friendship.
Yeah.
And recognizing the fact that you will both be moving on. Like they're going to be carrying on their life, but most of the time they become a stranger to you.
No.
Like you don't get the updates. You don't know what's going on in their life. And, you know, they don't know what's going on in your life. And that's a really hard thing to grapple with and come to terms with.
Yeah. And like, I wouldn't even consider my past relationships with the person that I was with as my best friend, but even not having them in my life in the capacity that they were, losing like a person that you're excited to tell things to and that you can count on to be there in some capacity when something's going wrong. Like maybe you're seeing them almost every single day. Like your whole life changes when you go through a breakup. At least, you know, from my experience, from the people around me's experience, like that, the way that you've shaped your life is usually somewhat considering that this other person is in it. And all of a sudden, along with whatever the reasons were that you got broken up with or that you broke up with this person, along with like trying to reconcile and introspect about that relationship and where it got to you. And then also on top of all that, your life completely changes, or at least to some capacity changes, because now there's just this part that's kind of missing.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw this person on TikTok who had just broken up with their very long-term partner, and they started writing down everything that would happen to them that they'd instinctively be like, oh, I want to tell this person, like I want to tell my partner, and then being like, no, I can't do that, we've broken up. And they were saying that they wanted to come on TikTok and start sharing those things, you know, it'd be the tiniest little things, but it would be something that they would normally share with that partner, and didn't really have the opportunity to do that. And so they started doing it on TikTok, and really touched me. I resonate with that so much, of like fresh out of a breakup and being like, I want to tell you these things. Like you were the person that I came to and could tell every tiny little part of my day, and you'd be interested and you'd want to know. And now I don't have that. And obviously you have friends, but it is different.
Yeah, I think that that's why, to me, I think it's so common for so many people to either get back with their ex-partners, try to be friends, keep them in their life in some capacity, even if like it's not a good decision. And you know, I wouldn't say that I'm the best example for keeping up with my exes, but I know that some people are and some people do that successfully. But I think in general, like, it makes a lot of sense why people will break up and they'll get back together. I think when I was younger, I never understood that. I was like, well, you don't like this person. Like, why would you get back together with them?
Yeah.
But it makes sense. Like, they were a part of your day. They're the person that you want to tell all these things to.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not as simple as, oh, you just don't like them anymore. Like, breakups happen for so many different reasons. And a lot of times it is circumstance. Yeah. And so you're kind of debating in your head, like, is this circumstance that is a barrier for us? Is it enough of a barrier to divide us? Or can we, like, overcome it?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think being friends with an ex is...
controversial opinions across the board, I think.
It's, I don't think it's right in every situation. Not that it's not right ever.
Say, I don't think it's right.
Don't do it. No, I think it can happen for some people. I think it takes so much work.
Yeah.
So many boundaries, so much maturity. Yeah. I think you need time and space before jumping into that. Mm-hmm. I have personally had, with my exes in general, I haven't really tried to stay friends with them.
Yeah.
And in my experience trying to be friends with them, like one ex in particular, it didn't go well. We weren't able to set up the proper boundaries that we needed to. Yeah. We couldn't communicate with each other in the way that we needed to.
Yeah.
And it ended up causing more issues.
Yeah.
And I would like to try again with an ex in the future if the circumstances are correct and, you know, we think we can do it. But I think I would go about it quite differently.
Yeah.
And yeah, I felt so hopeful at first. Yeah. I was like, wow, I'm finally going to be friends with an ex. Like, this is amazing.
This is great.
And then a few months passed and it just really was not working out.
No, and I think that, you know, a big reason for that as well is, like, the way that you're communicating with a romantic partner in a lot of ways is going to be different with the way that you communicate with a friend. And then, like, throwing in, you know, like, new partners that are going to come into each other, your life and this other person's life, like, situations that you'll be in. Like, I have one friend specifically that I'm thinking of that talks about how she's friends with almost all of her exes.
That's
and they're
crazy.
On really good terms most of the time.
Wow.
Which I cannot resonate with. I feel like I wouldn't say that any of my exes are my besties whatsoever.
That's because I'm your bestie.
Right. And we have not been in a relationship yet.
Not yet.
But I feel like when I think, like, I think that there's been enough time in, like, a lot of my relationships that I can be very, like, cordial to the other person. I do not feel bad, like, being around them. But also, like, the times in which that I was trying to be friends with exes is usually when I wanted to get back together with them.
That's interesting.
Which I, because I feel like to me,
ulterior motive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When, like, it's not, I think that there's, you know, for me, it depends on a lot of the time and, like, when the relationship ended and then where you are at now. Like, I can think of a few people that I've had past relations with that, like, I could probably be friends with.
Right.
And maybe in a, you know, in a whole other set of world, if we were in a new city and they were, like, the only person I knew, like, sure, I'd probably become friends with them because that would make the most sense.
Yeah.
But I find often, like, the people that I know that keep their exes around as friends, more often than not, they either, like, casually hook up with each other every once in a while, or they do just get back together, or, like, they have problems in their relationships because they're trying to be friendly, but then also trying to, like, keep up this level of relationship and whatever that they had beforehand.
Yeah. And I think regardless if you're being friends with an ex, that friendship is inherently going to look different because you've dated each other, possibly even been in love. Like, you've had this relationship together, and so yeah, there may be things that you would share with any other friend, but you might not share with them. And certain details of future relationships, anything like that. Like,
absolutely.
You will maybe have boundaries that look a bit different, making that friendship look different than it would with just the average person that you're friends with.
Yeah, and again, in my own personal experience, I found a lot of success in giving myself space from the person that I'm breaking up with. Like, I think there's a lot of situations I can think about is, like, if we stayed within the same realms of one another, I would have definitely tried to, like, get back together with them. or seeing them do anything that's like remotely romantic with another person, I think would absolutely shatter me. So as hard as it has been in the past to like take myself out of situations and actively in a lot of situations like actively avoid spaces where they would be,
definitely
it has worked out so much better to the point where like now I can see them and now I can be around them and now I can like have a you know, a semi-fine relationship with them. But I needed that time and I needed to, and I used to feel really bad about that, of like, you know, I would beat myself up over the fact that I wouldn't go to a party because I knew my ex would be there. But honestly, now so looking back on a year later, that was the best decision. Why would I have made myself upset to go to this thing to prove a point to whom exactly?
Yeah, and it prolongs kind of that healing process and that, you know, I think a really good sign that you may be ready to still be in your ex's life or be your ex's friend is if you can think about them actually getting into a romantic relationship with someone else, hearing about it, knowing about it, and genuinely being happy for them. Like, it's one thing to be like, oh, you know, I wish you the best, I hope everything goes great. It's another thing to like actually be confronted with this, the fact that someone you previously were with is now happy with someone else. And I think if that makes you feel upset, maybe you're not ready to be like genuinely good friends with that ex. And if it, you're like, yeah, awesome, I'm so happy for you, which is the way I feel with some of my exes, then maybe you are ready for that.
Yeah, and also I feel like it's also fine to never reach that, and then you don't have to be friends with your exes. Like, I feel like there's so much pressure sometimes, especially I think in university where everyone's relationships are crowded together, that you like really want to like get over this person very quickly and then become friends with them again to like, I guess, in my head, I think of it in the way of, like, I'm trying to prove to myself and the people around that, like, oh, I'm fine, everything's okay. But then also, like, there are exes of mine that I do not speak to. We do not run into each other. I don't know what they're up to, and I don't know if I'd be particularly happy or sad about anything that they're up to. And I don't, like, that's, I don't need to be friends with them. I don't need to continue a relationship with them, especially in a lot of cases that other people have told me, when you have been treated really poorly by someone and you've broken up maybe for that reason, or you've now like reflected on the relationship and realized how poorly you were being treated. Like, you do not owe this person anything. Just because you were in a relationship does not mean you have to move forward and think of them fondly in this way. Like, you can just be done.
I think this idea of getting over someone is just so different case by case. And I think we take lessons out of the relationships that we partake in. And so that is something that you carry with you as you move forward out of that relationship. And so it may feel, I know a lot of people kind of throw around this idea that you have to be over your ex before you enter into a new relationship. But what does getting over someone really mean? Like, you're not thinking about them ever? Like, I think it's normal to think about past relationships sometimes. You don't feel any emotion towards them. Like, again, I think that's kind of normal. So it's an interesting concept.
It's an abstract concept. And I think that, well, one, I was thinking earlier today when I was on my way over here about how I remember learning about this rule that you, the time that you dated someone, you're supposed to use half that time, and then you have to be over them within that time. And I remember this because my first ever like real quote unquote breakup, we weren't together for very long, and then I remember I passed this like half point of like how long our relationship was, and I was like, why am I not over him?
That's interesting. It was really bad. It's interesting when people put arbitrary time limits to things like that. I've heard about like, oh, if you're interested in someone that you're friend has previously been with, you have to wait like a time and a half of how long they've been together. So like, if they've been together 2 years, you have to wait 4.5 years or 5 years. But I'm like, that just isn't a rule of thumb that you can use ever.
That's just not how these things work. When also like what you were saying, getting the concept of getting over someone is so arbitrary, and I became really against that term a little while ago, but that was mostly because I found that in a lot of my relationships that were ending, I was striving to be over it rather than like mourning that relationship and, you know, reflecting on who I became in that relationship. And also, on a more positive note, what I learned from that relationship mm-hmm. and how I'm going to take that, you know, where I go.
Yeah.
So I always say to friends of mine that are going through breakups, it's like, maybe you should try not to get over the relationship, but mm-hmm. you need to, like, move through your yeah. breakup. And, like,
I love that terminology.
I know. I really like, I can't even, I came up with that by myself.
Well done.
I was really proud of it. And I think that, you know, when you focus so much on, you know, I need to get over this person, I have to stop thinking about them, I can't feel anything, and also I really want to get into this other relationship, so I really need to get out of this other thing, like, that's going to put a lot of pressure on you. And we're going to talk a little bit, a little while later, about different things that we've heard, and mostly this podcast that I listen to. But I feel like my biggest thing when people are going through breakups is, like, what's going to work for you?
Yeah.
Is it going to work that you need to be sad for 6 months, mm-hmm. even though you were together for 2 months?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Totally.
Do you need to go talk to people about it? Like, yeah. it's not, I don't like when people get embarrassed about these things, because there's mm-hmm. nothing to be embarrassed about. Mm-mm. You gave yourself to somebody yeah. for however long, you changed.
You were invested.
You were invested in them. And a lot of the times, especially when some people get, you know, something bad happens to them within this relationship, it's like something hurtful happened to you. Yeah. Like, you're allowed to feel those feelings. 100%.
And I think if you're too focused on this idea of getting over them, you're not focused on how you're feeling currently. You're just focused on how you think you should be feeling.
Yeah.
And I get it, because breakups are really painful.
Oh, God, yeah.
And in my experience, like, all I'm thinking is just, like, I can't wait until I'm not feeling this way.
I know.
Like, I know that I won't feel this bad at some point in the future, and I just can't wait until I get to that point. But you can't force it at the end of the day. And I really liked what you said of just moving through it, like, being present, even though it's really difficult.
It's awful. No, it's terrible.
Taking it day by day and just having hope and faith that things yeah. will get better.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about this very objectively. I feel like we both understand that we've both been through breakups, which you'll hear about later.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful. It does not feel good. No. It literally feels like waking up and someone stabbing you in the chest a million times per second. So it's okay. We're just trying to give you some. I just hope that people understand, like, you're allowed to feel that way.
Yeah. Well, we have a song for this week, which I think really captures this feeling. Right after you break up with someone, you're still into them or possibly even in love with them, and you don't want to get over them.
No.
Like, you're like, no, I still love and care about this person. And this song really helped me through one of my breakups, so I think it's pretty appropriate. And when we come back, we will be reading some of your answers to our survey on breakups. So don't go anywhere.
I could take a sleeping pill and sleep back well, and not have to go through what I go through. I guess I should take Prozac right and just smile all night at somebody new, somebody not too bright but sweet and kind, who would try to get you off my mind. I could leave this agony behind, which is just what I. Thank you.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
The haunting debut album Black Moon by Civic TV provides a cinematic backdrop, a modern-day symphony of the dark and light that is our collective reality. Take a listen to Black Moon, now available via Flemish Eye Records and on all streaming platforms.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. This week, we're talking about breakups. We sent out a fun little survey, or a sad little survey, I should say, and to hear about all of your breakup experiences. And before we get into it, I just wanted to thank everyone for being so open and vulnerable with us. It's really amazing that we have such an great and emotional group of people that listen and that are really willing to share their stories.
Yeah.
And thank you for trusting us with them as well.
And I hope that it was a cathartic release to write it out. Sometimes we don't always get opportunities to share about previous relationships and breakups and stuff like that when we're not currently going through it.
Yeah. So we're going to start off with the first question, which was we asked people to tell us about a time that they were broken up with. We have three different responses. This was a very interesting one, the first one that I'm going to read. We were both pretty shocked when I read this out in our meeting. So this was from somebody that said that they met a guy on Tinder, 24 male, when they were 19. He told me before our first date that he was married and had a child, but they were polyamorous. We dated for a month and I was incredibly infatuated with him. He always told me how much he loved me and how much I meant to him. He broke up with me unexpectedly only a month later. I was so shocked and heartbroken because I thought it was going well, but apparently he, in quote, wasn't as polyamorous as he thought he was. And, quote, only has love for one person, and that was his wife. I was absolutely shattered for a month, but now I feel mostly over them. Regardless, I still have a soft spot in my heart for them, as they were my first boyfriend, and no one has cared for me so deeply before. But it hurts knowing that when he said he loved me, he never truly meant it. It makes me wonder if it was all a fabricated lie and if I was just an experiment.
I've had that feeling before where I'm like, someone falls out of love with you or you learn something about the relationship that you were in and you're like, was this ever real? Did you ever feel this way?
Yeah.
And you can really like gaslight yourself into believing that this person never cared about you. Everything that they said was a lie. And it's hard to like talk yourself out of that headspace.
Yeah.
I think it's also difficult. Sometimes we want to experiment and try something new in relationships, such as polyamory.
Yeah.
And we may not know whether or not we resonate with that or if we're capable of having a different type of relationship like that until we try it. But you have to acknowledge the fact that other people are involved with this and their feelings can get hurt. And for them, it's not an experiment. And it's really devastating to get involved with someone and then have them for circumstances that you quite literally cannot change, not be able to be with you anymore.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, where this person is coming from and the whole concept. Well, first I just wanted to say in terms of what they were saying of wondering or knowing they used to say that he never loved me, he didn't truly mean that he loved me. And I think that, you know, what you're saying about how you can really talk yourself into that mindset, and I would always urge people to try and stop themselves as much as they can, because at the end of the day, you never know what's going on in someone else's head. And I think that you can see what's happening in front of you and feel what that means. But also, you never know if this person never loved you, and maybe there are more situations that you can account for. However, on the other side of this situation, I think that it is really difficult when I hear someone talking about something like polyamory or trying polyamory out, or just someone like quote unquote experimenting with any kind of relationship, even if they're coming from a place of like, oh, I don't think I was ready to jump into this. It's really hard to hear that from the other side, because you're mm-hmm. like, well, I was invested in this. Like, I was really yeah. trying. And I know that you're your own person, but now it's making me feel like, what if I could have done this, this yeah. and that yeah. to make you love me more? Mm-hmm. And that's just really sad.
Yeah.
Can we move on to the next one?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this one I picked because I think it's quite a, unfortunately, common experience, especially with young people throughout university. Mm. This person says, my first boyfriend I ever had broke up with me totally out of the blue. We started hooking up the first week of university, and after a while, he asked me to be his girlfriend. I was hesitant at first, and in parentheses, always trust your gut. But after he pouted for a couple of days,
God.
I agreed. I feel like we had such a nice little relationship, and as time went on, I liked him more and more.
Mm-hmm.
After lunch one day, we went back to my dorm for what I thought was a quickie before class, and then all of a sudden, he was breaking up with me. Oh. I even laughed at first because I thought he was joking, but eventually I realized I was being broken up with.
Aww.
It was very difficult at first because he was part of my friend group, but also he was one of my first and closest friends I've made at uni so far. I tried to be friends with him, but a week after the breakup and I tried to be friends with him about a week after the breakup, and we even hooked up a couple of more times, but it was too difficult. We went our separate ways, and I was a little awkward, especially when he brought his new girlfriend to my dorm room to pre.
Jesus.
But we both got over it eventually, and it was fine. Mm. But this definitely contributed to my trust issues that I absolutely still have to this day.
Oh, gosh. There's a lot happening
There's a
here.
Lot to unpack here.
I feel like this is the perfect example of how, like, being in a friendship so soon after breaking up is really difficult.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always work out, and sometimes this person gets a new partner sooner than you're ready to get possible future new partner. And then you have to meet that person because you guys are friends and you're going along in the same friend group and doing things together, like preying, and now this new person is in your space.
I know. I really, really resonated with this person. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the whole concept of hooking up or dating someone within your friend group and then the risk that that might take by saying or like taking the leap to be in that relationship. And then, you know, obviously you're always putting yourself up at a bit of a risk of whether it's going to work out or not. But then having that not work out and then really actually trying to deal with the aftermath of that, of like, now all of our friends know, and now we're going to be in each other's space, and now mm-hmm. we have to act normal, and now you're going to get another partner. Like, the whole thing of bringing the new girlfriend to her their dorm to pre just made me
traumatizing,
so upset. I haven't been in that exact position, but I've been in similar positions mm-hmm. to that, and it's like you can't do anything.
No.
It almost feels like you can't say anything because
yeah.
you're friends,
right.
Like, you're friendly
mm-hmm.
and everything's supposed to be normal.
Yeah. And it's difficult because who knows what this new girlfriend knows? And is it your job to tell them? Is it the partner's job? Like, it just puts everyone in a really uncomfortable position. But
yeah.
also you're like trying to be chill. And you're like trying to be friends with the girlfriend, but you're hurting your own feelings.
You're like, constantly hurting your own feelings yeah. and making yourself upset, but you're chill.
No, super chill, super cool girl. More on that a different episode.
Yeah, that will be up and coming soon.
Yeah.
Okay, and so the last one I wanted to say for this section, this person was talking about a mutual breakup with their partner from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I wanted to include this submission was because they talked a little bit about their support system and their healing process after the breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a very enlightening thing to read.
Cool.
So I cut off the first little bit, but just for reference, they broke up with their high school sweetheart,
uh-huh.
mutual breakup. And then they said, before I saw her for the last time, I called my best friend to let him know then when she left. We immediately hung out to take my mind off of things and to talk if I'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up spending the remainder of the day with me and checked in on the morning to see if there was anything he could do, which I really appreciated. For the first 2 months after we broke up, I still thought quite fondly of her. That was my first relationship, and I didn't realize how toxic and manipulating she was. Once the rose-colored glasses faded, I didn't want to speak to her again. I'm over her, but I'm still recovering from the negative impact she had on me, even though the relationship was 3 years ago. We were in a queer relationship, and in hindsight, she was imposing a lot of hetero norms on me because I was more masculine than her. And then in parentheses, for examples, they said, never got to be the little spoon, be called pretty, or receive gifts. I had to unlearn a lot to be more comfortable with who I am and know that what a loving queer relationship is like. And now I resent her a little because after the first relationship, I feel like you never come into another one with as little trust issues or love as openly. Which I thought, I was really struck by that last line because I wouldn't say that I feel that way about like the first few relationships that I'm in, but that's something I've heard a lot of people talk about where they really like mourn their first relationship, especially if it ended really poorly, because they don't believe that they can jump into this like other relationship as freely as they would have beforehand. And the only thing I will say about that is like that is something that's lovely and amazing, and I think that I am very envious of anyone that has been able to do that in their life, because I surely have not. However, I do think that with a lot of these experiences, and especially like with this person understanding more of like what they want in their relationships, they can fall in love again and be in another relationship and also know that they have certain standards for themselves.
I resonate with it. I feel like going into my first relationship, my first relationship didn't end particularly poorly. I mean, I definitely learned a lot from it. But in general, with my relationship experiences, there are certain things that have tainted future relationships. Like, I feel like there is certain baggage that I bring into relationships now. And part of me does wish that I could just go back to being fully trusting, loving with open arms. But I also see that that part of me was naive and not as good of a communicator and couldn't set boundaries as well, and frankly didn't know the kind of treatment that I deserved. And so I am grateful for the lessons that I've learned from previous relationships, and you know, not to in any way blame this person who submitted this. I think this was a really important submission. But for example, like never getting to be the little spoon, being called pretty, receiving gifts, things like that, like that's something that you can take out of that relationship. And in your next partnership, know that it's needs you need to communicate to your next partner. And if that person won't meet you there, then you know that there's an incompatibility or that you will find someone who will give that to you.
Yeah, I think it really sheds light on the fact that relationships, you know, are a partnership in lots of ways, and both people's needs should be getting met. And I think that when maybe sometimes when you're younger or maybe just have not had as much experience in relationships, you tend to jump in, and a lot of the times people will take treatment even though they don't like it and they don't deserve it. And as you grow, and I think as you like build up what your needs are, yeah, maybe that means that you can't just jump into this new relationship because it's there. But I think that that's also really important. As hard as it is, either way, like I don't want it to come off as that we're like devaluing what this person is saying. But I do think that I can understand why it's upsetting to be like, I wish I could just jump into something again. But I also think that like you'll be thankful for it in the future.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. That was a really good one.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next section, which was people telling us about a time that they broke up with someone else. First one is a very interesting one, I must say. The story took me on a journey. This one says, my girlfriend and I were not doing well during COVID because she didn't want to see me. Understandably so, because her mom was immunocompromised, but she would constantly ignore me, not put in any effort, and also act super contradictory to her own sense of risk. For example, she would drive her random retail store coworkers home but didn't want to do a gift swap with me in the car on Christmas. It took me about 3 months to do it and ended up going on a break with her. However, her hamster decided to die that night, so she interpreted the break to tell her that it was dying in her hands.
Interrupted the break.
Sorry, my brain isn't reading things right. I forgot my glasses.
Oh no.
I tried comforting her because something was dying, but then she kept bringing up things about the break. It was an extremely frustrating situation. Anyway, she told all her coworkers the next day that my hamster died and then my boyfriend broke up with me. A bad characterization of a situation that I could not win. I was definitely sad after because we were super close. We ended up breaking up a few months later for other reasons. I'm not going to lie, I don't miss her as a girlfriend, but I missed having her as a friend. I don't really feel that way anymore, though, because we are very different people now with not a lot in common. I'm so sorry. That took me a really bad...
You did great. You did great. this is an interesting one. It's really interesting, kind of similar to our friendship breakups discussion about how once you have that separation with that person, you have no control over the narrative that they're going to put out there about how the breakup happened. And this characterization of my hamster died and then my boyfriend broke up with me. But then he's here being like, no, like it was on a decline for a very long time. Right. Like it was bad timing that your hamster was dying while I was trying to break up with you. But that's literally not my fault.
I wish I was simply a fly on the wall when this whole thing was happening, just to see everything happening all at once.
Yeah. And I get it. Sometimes it feels like everything is going wrong for you. Like there's a death in the family, or like a family pet dies and you got broken up with and you got a bad grade and like this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
It does. Life does shake out that way.
I know.
But I can imagine it being frustrating as being the partner. Obviously, they shared some mutual friends.
Yeah.
And then hearing that this is how it's being told. And you're like, this is not how it was.
No. And I think also, like, I feel like this is a trope in a lot of shows that I've been watching recently where something bad happens as this character is trying to break up with this person. Mm-hmm. And so they keep pushing it off.
Yeah.
And the matter of the fact is...
The fact of the matter. The fact...
This is so embarrassing.
You're good.
The fact of the matter is...
What is it?
There's no right time to break up with someone. Like, the thing is that people are going to encounter things in their lives. And I think this is such a perfect example of something you and I will talk about.
Gosh.
Is that, you know... You will see something will happen to you and then it'll be portrayed. You will take it and portray it to people in the way that it is. And then this other person who is still a factor in this will also have their own narrative in it. And so if it was like you're trying to break up with this person, but, you know, they're having family problems, you will keep finding excuses to not end up breaking up with
them.
That's
so real. I actually just remembered about ending things with someone once, and they were literally having the worst day ever. Like, actually the worst day ever. Oh. But I had already called them earlier and asked them to come over to talk about something.
Right.
So I was like locked in, which I'm actually really grateful that I was locked in, because I don't know if I would have had the heart to do it otherwise.
Right.
But I was like, I mean, I'm not going to make something else up to talk about. Like, this is what we're here to talk about. But yeah, you're so right. Like, there's no good time to end things with someone. And sometimes they're having a bad day and you just have to rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we have one more left, and then this person is talking about their, you know, kind of similarly, their big struggle with really wanting to break up with this person but not knowing how.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been on the initiating end of a breakup once. It was my first relationship with a quote-unquote good guy.
Mm.
He was everything I thought I wanted on paper. Nice, smart, funny, dependable, but we were functioning from two completely different spaces, and despite attempts to communicate about things that were irking me, he never seemed to hear me, and more incompatibilities started piling up. There was a conversation I left with a gut feeling, an oh no, it's over type of feeling.
Mm.
It took 3 weeks from that gut feeling before breaking up with him, and I tried to address the things that were bothering me multiple times within those 3 weeks. I remember being sick to my stomach, getting very little sleep, and crying a lot. It felt selfish that this quote-unquote good guy wasn't enough, but my friends helped me reframe the whole thing, so finally ripped the Band-Aid off.
Mm.
I was deeply sad and sort of angry initially, but because I had sat with the feelings for 3 weeks prior, I'd already begun the process to process the breakup, so the sad phase after the actual breakup didn't last very long. And after about a week, my emotions changed to relief, and I felt empowered that I put my emotions first.
Yeah.
Something in the past I very rarely acknowledge as a good enough reason to engage in any sort of conflict or difficult conversation.
Yeah.
I'm definitely over him now, but my feelings about him are mixed, especially following how he handled things on his end. Mm-hmm. At the same time, his reaction confirmed all of the reasons I wanted to break up. So it was this weird double-edged sword of having my point proven, but also dealing with the irrationality of others' reactionary emotions and the pain they can sometimes cause. Anyways, sorry for the essay. Love the pod. XOXO.
Aww.
That was cute.
Okay, I love this submission so much.
I know. I love this submission.
This is a very important lesson to learn. And it makes me sad to hear that they were in a place where they felt selfish and they didn't feel like their own emotion and gut feeling was enough to take action. And I've certainly felt that way before where this person hasn't necessarily done anything wrong. It's nothing really against them. There's just that feeling or that incompatibility. But you're kind of invested in them already. So you're kind of like, oh, I don't know. Like, what do I even say to this person? Yeah. You can't use the, it's not you, it's me.
Right.
But I'm so glad that this person did get to a place where they were able to recognize that if they didn't want to be with this person, as much of a quote-unquote good guy as he was, they didn't have to.
No. I think that's what people struggle with a lot in breakups is, like, you know, obviously people do terrible things and there are times where you will decide to break up with that person.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there are times where you don't, something's just not clicking for you. And that's okay. You're allowed to leave a relationship or allowed to leave a relationship because it's just not working well enough anymore. And yes, that can become a discussion, but it sounds like this person really tried to make the relationship work. And like hearing the way that they're talking about how, you know, sick to their stomach they were, how sad they were, and going through all these different emotions, it makes me really feel for them. But also seeing how that resulted in this really great ending of like, I knew that I was justified in this decision, and it was a hard decision, and it was one I wasn't able to make before. And like that is, out of all of this, like that is such an important lesson to learn for yourself, whether it's breaking up with someone or just bringing up conflict. Like, whoever you are, I'm extremely proud that that's where you got to with this breakup.
I think they also bring up a really interesting point, which is that because they had sat on it for a while and because they were the one doing the breaking up, they had a bit of time to get over this person and come to terms with the fact that this relationship ended, which is something that I think should not be overlooked in breakups. It can be a really different feeling, obviously, to break up with someone versus being broken up with them or being broken up with.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think a huge part of that is, you know, sometimes it can really feel like the rug is being ripped out from under you. Even if you know that there were issues, even if maybe a part of you sensed that this could have been coming.
Yeah.
A lot of times if you're being broken up with, you're still in it. Like, you're still invested. You are still willing to try and make it work. And so that grieving process kind of starts the day that you break up.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this person who's doing the breaking up, they've had a bit of time to come to the decision that this is what they want to do. So they kind of have a head start in that.
Which is a perfect example of how grieving is different for everyone. It even depends on where you are in that relationship in the first place. So,
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for submitting your lovely submissions. We're really sorry that we couldn't include everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But
there will be more opportunities in the future.
There's always more opportunities.
We're going to take a quick break to listen to some ads. And when we come back, we'll be revealing some of our own breakup experiences.
Oh my god, we are
so spicy. So you will not want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Dead, coming to the Imperial May 6th to support their newest single, Bad Love, out now from their recently announced brand new album, Blue Skies. Available wherever you listen to music, May 27th.
Australia and Canada both have wide open spaces and wild sounds that fill them. Join your host, Matt, as he shares brand new tunes and archived classics from the independent music worlds of Australia and Canada on Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show. Listen Tuesdays from 11 p.m. to midnight.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. we've finally reached the portion of the show where we'll be talking about our own breakup experiences.
Oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, I've gone through a few different types of breakups, I feel like. And it's interesting, like some were more difficult than others, but it's interesting to go through multiple breakups and have that feeling be at the same time familiar as it is completely unique and different and unlike things that you've experienced before.
Yeah, there's definitely themes like what we were talking about earlier today about how there's that feeling of I just want this feeling to be done with. I just want this to be over. I hate feeling this sad. There's also a big theme for me of like, I'm never going to find someone that is like this.
Mm-hmm.
But then also in all of, and then there's lots of like introspection and reflecting and whatnot. But I think every breakup kind of holds its own like little code, if that makes sense. Like it's its own little thing that like maybe produces the same result, but it's different of how you get there.
Yeah. Can you share a breakup experience with us?
Yeah. I actually haven't had that many. I've been ghosted quite a few times, and that's a whole other
that
like
sucks.
Yeah, it's been, that's happened a few times, but I feel like the main breakup that I can think of is someone that I was seeing in a friend group, and we weren't technically in a relationship, which is the classic university way of saying that we were dating,
seeing
one another. Yeah. That's a great way to say it. And I was broken up with, so he broke up with me, and I knew it was coming because I remember he texted me asking me to talk, and we'd already kind of been on the, you know, downfall, and I was like, okay, he's definitely breaking up with me, which is funny.
So you sensed it.
Yes, and which is funny because Violet, when this had happened, you thought that he was going to ask me to be his girlfriend.
I'm a hopeless romantic, what can I say?
So, yeah, it ended, and then a week later, he got with the girl that he told me not to worry about.
Oh, no.
Oh, and then, yeah, and then he, you know, made out with a friend of mine a few days later. So, that was really fun.
Really awesome breakup experience.
Really awesome breakup experience. And I would say that just in that situation, like, I felt quite a lot of pressure to get over it very quickly because we were so ingrained in the same friend group. I was in so much fear that I was gonna lose that friend group because I was the person that came in later rather than him who was like kind of established in it. I thought everybody was talking about it, and then I was incredibly embarrassed by everything. So because I was feeling a lot of pressure, and I wouldn't even say trying to look good for him, it was more so for everyone else, where I was like, I'm really nervous that everyone's looking at me and going to think that I'm like the sad girl who, you know, got broken up with and feel pity for me. So I was like, never mind, I'm just going to act like I don't care. Which did include inviting this new girl to a bunch of my parties and seeing them together and talking and doing all that jazz, which is why I really resonate with that other person who's talking about, you know, having to see this new person and interact with them.
I remember when that happened and I was like, Holly, you don't have to do this. Like, it's going to hurt you. And you're like, no, like, I want to be nice to her.
I want to be nice to her.
Which, to be fair, it wasn't her fault. But it's also so okay to not want that person in your space.
I know. And I think that there, and, you know, the biggest thing that I learned from this breakup versus, you know, other ones that I had was what had happened was it happened prior to the pandemic. So I distracted myself a lot by just like being around a lot of friends, and I went out a lot and, you know, did all the classic things, and then really refused to talk about it with people other than like you and maybe a few others here and there. And I was sad about it, and I knew that I was, but I wasn't letting myself feel that sad. And then it took me a few months, and then the pandemic hit, and then within the pandemic I started kind of just being forced to think about it a lot.
Right.
And then I got really sad. And then a few months later, I got really angry because everything started like clicking for me of how poorly I was treated and how nice I was to everybody else. And I just remember like these probably 2 months of just rage of like, what the heck happened to me?
Yeah.
But I'm very happy for that because I feel that feeling that anger was really important for me.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that I was at the time everything was happening, I was so used to feeling those ways and feeling treated in the way that I was that I didn't allow myself to get mad about something happening to me.
Yeah.
And so having those like few months of just like, I'm fine, I'm sad, oh, I'm kind of happy now, I'm sad again. Mm-hmm. And then being like, no, I was really mistreated. Yeah. And that was how I like fully worked through everything that happened. It was like, I got really angry and then I was like, I'm not worth, like, I don't deserve this type of treatment. Mm-hmm. And then I finally felt quote unquote like over this person. Not really, but over them in my in my definition.
Yeah, I mean, I think if breakups have taught me anything, it's to be more comfortable with the emotion of anger.
Yeah.
Anger, because it's not an emotion that comes very naturally to me, and it's not an emotion that is comfortable for me. I will default to sadness 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
But I think you need that anger in a breakup. Well, you don't need it because some breakups end amicably. But
I didn't even catch on to that. I was like,
you do.
You should be really angry.
But I think allowing yourself to feel angry, if that is the way that you feel, can help you move forward.
Oh, yeah. And I feel in such a good place with everything now. And like, I think that there's definitely other people that I haven't had that like full turn of like, I feel like I've moved through this enough that I like I can see this person, and I can be fine around them now. And
doesn't mean you have to be mean to them.
No, and that's not what I'm feeling. But it that to me, and that was when I really learned that like letting myself be angry and like then talk to people where they were like, no, like you should be angry about this. That was really good.
Yeah, that's good.
What about you? You want to tell us about a breakup experience?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I want to talk about two breakups that I feel like are kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum, just quickly while we have time. The first breakup was my first love, my high school sweetheart, if you will. It was my longest relationship, actually. We were together for 2 years. And it was a really good relationship. Like, I would say it was really healthy. But it turned into long distance. We did a year together in high school, and then he went off to college, and then we did a year long distance. And it just turned into a situation where our feelings for each other weren't equally matched anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was the first person I had ever been with, my first relationship, my first love, I started getting really curious. I was growing. I was changing. I was in high school. And I think our compatibility was changing with that.
Yeah.
And I was starting to get curious about, like, what else was out there and kind of thinking about maybe this isn't the relationship I want forever.
Mm-hmm.
I still really cared about him, but I think I was, like, falling out of love, which was extremely difficult because, if anything, I feel like he was falling more in love.
Mm.
And it was really just felt so disconnected that we were on such different pages.
Yeah.
But I will say that because of where my emotional state was versus his, it was definitely a lot easier for me once we broke up. I did initiate it, and it was definitely way harder for him.
Yeah.
And, but, like, we ended amicably. We tried to be friends at first. Didn't super work. We also weren't living that close to each other anymore. And just eventually kind of, he set up actually a really healthy boundary of, I don't think we can talk anymore.
Mm.
And I was like, you know what? I really respect that. And, like, I wish you the best. And we kind of faded off into different directions.
Yeah.
And now, like, so much time has passed since that relationship. But we still have each other on social media. And, like, I always wish the best for him. I just graduated and he commented saying, like, congratulations, which, like, meant so much to me. You know, we don't meet up. We don't really get into long, detailed discussions of what our lives are now. But he's in what seems like a very happy, loving relationship now. And, like, I'm so happy for him. He deserves, you know, the world. Aww. I think he's the best. So I think that was, like, a pretty healthy breakup. Obviously difficult at the time, especially for him, I would say. But in contrast, I had this other relationship that lasted just under a year. It was a very intense whirlwind relationship.
Yeah.
And when he ended things with me, I was very much still in love, totally blinded by love.
Yeah.
And like, just like I was saying earlier, like, rug ripped out from under me. Like, I knew we had issues, but it just felt so abrupt and so sudden.
Yeah.
And I just like felt so confused. I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
And it was so difficult. I felt so emotionally unavailable for so long after that, which is really unlike me.
Yeah.
I usually kind of wear my heart on my sleeve and I'm very open to connection and all of that. So I just felt like I wasn't myself.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I had reached out to him again to get some stuff from him and started talking about some issues that happened in our relationship, and he had revealed this like really big thing. And I felt, I was so upset, like devastated, angry, heartbroken to learn about some of the things that had gone on while we were together.
Yeah.
But I felt just like set free. Like, I feel like part of me just knew that I wasn't getting the full truth.
Yeah.
And that's why for like, I don't know, it was like 6 months or something like that. Maybe like eight, I don't know, longer. Anyways, a number of months, I just like couldn't, I was like hitting a wall. And I think that like part of me just knew that I wasn't getting the full truth. And even as difficult as it was to get the full truth, it was so healing.
Yeah.
And I could finally, like finally let go and move on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think those were two of the most significant breakups in my life.
Yeah, I feel like especially with the latter one, I feel like the one similarity that I can see between ours is just like getting that moment to yourself to being like, I have the full truth, or like now I'm allowing myself to like finally get upset.
Mm-hmm.
And it can just like set you free of like, thank God. Like, thank God I can just like, either in my case, like, be upset about this, and in your case, like, knowing that something was going on and you weren't getting the full truth. And like, you know, we were very good friends while this was happening. We were living together, and I remember talking to you so often of like, something isn't feeling right, something's not clicking yet, like something's going on. And the minute that you got all that information and you were able to like come out of it, it was difficult, it was awful, but at the very least you were like, thank you, I know now, so I don't have to keep going back in my head and trying to figure out what I did wrong.
Exactly because
I feel like that's the number one thing that starts to happen when people get broken up with, or at least with me, is like almost immediately I'm like, what did I do wrong?
Right.
How did I, why did this person break up with me? Because I must have said something. I must have done something.
Oh my God. After we broke up, I wrote him this devastating letter about how I'm so sorry, I couldn't make things work, like all of this stuff. And I regret sending that letter
so much.
Yes.
Oh no.
Because little did I know, like, it literally was not my fault. Like, he was on the other end of things, like, being terrible.
Yeah.
But his honesty was the best, worst gift I've ever been given.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, we've talked, we've heard a little bit about other people's experiences. Now people have heard about our experiences. Mm-hmm. And each type of relationship is going to end in this different way. Either you are gonna leave, like, I think the first one that you were talking about, your high school relationship, you kind of left that and on your end being like, I kind of, these are the feelings I'm having towards this like relationship, I think that this may need to end, and then being able to like heal from that in a, you know, relatively healthy and like, I wouldn't say quick, but like concise way, without little to no upsetness. Whereas like on the other hand, you have this like really terrible relationship that makes you feel all these different things. Anyways, we're running out of time, and the only thing that I wanted to add in to this last little segment was that I listened to this great podcast with this woman who I can't find her name. Her name is Lucy Hone. It was on Hidden Brain, if anybody wants to check it out. She talks a lot about grief and resilience, and she had this great quote that I hope that anyone that's listening that might be going through a breakup or in the future will be having a breakup. Never know. Fingers crossed it doesn't happen. And she says this, where she goes, grief stays the same and your world grows around it. which I think is beautiful. And it helps me think a lot about my healing and a lot about my grief. And I hope it also helps everyone that's listening today.
I love that. And I love that it acknowledges that these wounds and these things that we acquire in our life that are difficult, you know, they're a part of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we grow with them.
Yeah.
Well, your homework for this week, as hard as it may be, is to maybe revisit a breakup that you didn't give yourself enough time to mourn. Whether you're broken up with or you broke up with someone else, you can turn on your favorite heartbreak tunes and just make sure that you let yourself feel those emotions.
This has been your free therapy session for this week. We're your hosts. I'm Halle.
I'm Violet. And this is Therapy Hour, because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it. Be sure to tune in next week when we'll be talking about extroversion versus introversion. We love you.
Bye-bye.